So first, I would like to thank organizers to give me an opportunity to give a talk, and very nice short introduction. And the title is Comparing the Black Hole Thermodynamics with Numerical Data from Super-EMILs. I will explain how we can study Super-EMILs on computer using Monte Carlo, and what can be learned from that, especially in the context of gauge gravity duality. There are a bunch of references. Today, I will mainly focus on matrix quantum mechanics, and these are the references about that. And I did this work with Jun, Kostas Anagnostopoulos, and many other friends. And also, I will briefly mention about the simulation in other dimensions. Not really, but only brief introduction. And these two papers with Isaac Kanamori are about simulation of two-dimensional super-EMILs. And in these two papers, we described how we can put four-dimensional theory on computer. Now let's start with motivation. My motivation is this, very simple. What is quantum gravity? And there are many answers. Everybody has their own favorite answer, I think. But I would say superstring theory is probably most promising. But the next question to come is, what is superstring? Do you have any non-parametric formulation? And I must say no, but though we don't have a non-parametric formulation yet, there are many good proposals, and the most concrete one is ABS-CFT, or more in general, gauge gravity duality. And in the celebrated ABS-CFT paper, Maruta Senar says, in principle, we can use this duality. By this duality, he means ABS-CFT and gauge gravity duality. We can use this duality to give a definition of M string theory on flat spacetime as a region of large limit of the field theories. Notice that this is a non-parametric proposal for defining such theories, since the corresponding field theories, which is super-EMILs, can in principle be defined non-parametrically.
What does in principle mean?
Nobody knows how to how to put it on lattice, for example. It's rather formal, so. But it's much more concrete, robust than parametric superstring, I would say.
Sorry, so why didn't he say on flat space?
Yes.
Probably he was more interested in flat limit, I guess. Of course, it originally for ABS or curved background.
Yeah.
But he at that time he was more interested in flat space limit, I think.
I think basically it's the fact that any geometry, when you look at it, when you make it sufficiently big, locally becomes flat space. So to the extent that one can take the local limit in some sensible way, I think that one is supposed to recover flat space. Mm-hmm. That's proof hard.
And he said in principle it's a non-parametric dimension. And so of course it's very important conceptually. But also it's important practically. That's what I want to explain in this talk. So if Maruta-Senar conjecture is correct, if we can put super-EMILs on computer, and if we can study that numerically, we can learn about superstring. We can simulate quantum gravity if his conjecture is correct. That's a motivation of mine. Okay, then what is the correspondence? On super-EMIL side, we can take Lagrangian limit and strong tofu coupling limit. Then, in string side, it reduces to supergravity limit. And of course, we can consider Lagrangian but finite coupling region. Then, deviation from strong coupling limit is conjectured to give alpha prime correction. So it becomes three-level string. By alpha prime, I mean size of the string. And if we further go to finite end, quantum string loop effect is suppressed like 1 over n. And so at finite end, string loop effect appears. So it really becomes quantum string, according to Maruta-Senar. And the pyramids is of course difficult. It's always difficult. And this side, supergravity is easier. So people believe this duality is really correct and study the easiest one and learn about more difficult stuff. So this is a usual way people use duality. And if we just believe this correspondence, of course studying this theory to learn about this is a kind of idiot, because we are just studying difficult one to learn more difficult one, not more easier one. But of course, at conceptual level, we should really check this duality holds. So I want to study this region. But that's not the whole story. As soon as we consider string effect, it's more difficult. Even perturbatively, it's really hard to correct higher order correction in string size. But if we can really study superimages on computer, this size can, hopefully we can study this side just using numerics. Then numerics is a black box, but we can translate that result to very interesting quantum gravity effect. So when we consider string theory, this opposite direction of the dictionary can be very useful, even practically. I will show a simple example in this talk. And the easiest example is a one-dimensional superimage. By one dimension, I mean 0 plus 1 dimension. Really, no spatial direction, just time. And it's related to D0 brains in type 2 super thing. And the action is really just this. And the simplest version of the Maldacena conjecture is, if we study thermodynamics of this theory, by putting it on Euclidean circle, just imposing antiperiodic boundary condition fermion, we can study thermodynamics. And then that should correspond to black hole, which is made of many D0 brains. And this is a proposal. I will give more detail later. So this is a his first initiative paper, and he said that the theory is in living in ADS or CFT is not really important, that even non-ADS or non-CFT such correspondence can work. And in this paper, they gave a more robust statement. And basically, they say if we consider p spatial plus one time dimensional maximally supersymmetric kernels, which is obtained as a low energy effective theory of a bunch of BP lengths, that should correspond to type 2 superstring on black P brain background. When we take P equals to 3, this is a most famous ADS5 CFT4 correspondence. And if we consider P smaller than 3, this is non-ADS, non-CFT correspondence. And perhaps we can take P larger than 3, but then gauge theory side is not really denormalizable, so I don't know how to treat that. And as I have already said, large and strong coupling is conjectured to correspond to supergravity, and the finite coupling, the finite end correction, corresponds to stringy effect. And the metric of a black P plane is given of its Strominger. So this metric is from here, I think. And anyways, it's just some kind of black hole solution in 10 dimension. And this is a direction parallel to the brain, and this is a transverse direction, and this combination characterizes the curvature of the background. And according to Maldacena, if this curvature scale is much larger than alpha prime, and also the atom becomes very small, then supergravity should be fine. And this U is a radial coordinate, and we can translate this condition to this inequality. Here lambda is a coupling constant, which is dimension of flow, actually. And in this region, here I already put p equals to 0, but in such a region of space-time, gravity description is good. And if corresponding quantity Jan Mills is determined from this region, then supergravity approximation can make sense to learn something about super Jan Mills. And the dictionary is like this. So this dictionary is developed really expanded in over 10 years, but most basic one is this. Energy density in super Jan Mills side just corresponds to black hole mass. And for example, we can consider some special kind of Wilson loop or Polyakov loop in gauge theory. And that's related to area of string world sheet, which ends on this loop. So we consider a minimal world sheet whose boundary is Wilson loop. And then they are related. And also, according to famous Gabsa-Krebano-Berkov-Witten relation, correlation function in Jan Mills side is related to mass of field excitation in gravity side. And so this is just basic one. And we want to check it numerically. And also, we want to say something more than supergravity limit from numerics. So before explaining the detail of the simulation, I think it's better to show a nice plot. Otherwise, people may fall asleep. And this is a result obtained in these papers. So this is temperature, and this is energy per 1 degree of freedom. And I will explain later, in this theory, strong coupling basically corresponds to low temperature of the black hole. So if we go to low temperature, supergravity approximation should become good if we believe gauge gravity duality. And this is energy calculated by supergravity. And these are the data from numerics. It really approaches to this half. And furthermore, we can measure the deviation between our data and the supergravity limit. And here, we take n equals to 17, which is almost infinity. So Malbein effect is almost negligible. And this deviation should correspond to alpha prime correction if gauge gravity duality conjecture is true. But then we can roughly estimate how large alpha prime correction should appear.
So what's the numerical method then?
To get this value? I will explain. To get these points, right?
Yeah.
I will explain later. First, I just wanted to show nice result before explaining technical things.
You're supposed to admire it, not
understand. And you want to know how to do that?
One word.
So in this case, it's one-dimensional system. It's UV finite, so we don't have to use lattice. We just introduce momentum cutoff. Your work. And of course, we can really argue that that gives correct continuum limit. I'll explain more detail later. And from just power counting, we can see the power, this power 4.6 of the correction. Just using string theory and simple power counting from string theory, we can predict this value. And this coefficient is really hard to determine. But actually, this deviation can be fit by this power. And if we take the difference and take log-log plot, this slope really becomes 4.6, which is this power. And it really agrees with the string correction. And this tiny deviation can be explained by finite cutoff effect in numerics.
This is all infinite coupling?
No. So the Yamiel's coupling constant is dimension full in the lower dimensions. So lambda has a dimension of mass cube.
It's a black hole for us. We can't see anything.
So basically, we take a dimensionless combination of a coupling constant lambda and temperature. This is a dimensionless effective temperature, and actually this C is this dimensionless.
So temperature combination. Is lambda.
Yes. And we want, because I want to see alpha prime correction, so deviation from strong coupling. That corresponds to deviation from low temperature asymptotic behavior. So this is a supergravity result, which should be exact at zero temperature, strong coupling limit. And we are looking at deviation. And that deviation is alpha prime correction, and that's predicted to obey this power. And we really see that power from numerics.
So the alpha prime correction, you have higher orders?
Yes, it's also string has a finite size, right?
Yeah.
And length of the string square is alpha prime. So if we forget about the size of a string, it's supergravity, it's really point particle. And if we take into account, you know, that finite string size effect, that gives this deviation.
But it's a kind of an expansion?
Yes, around supergravity.
Is it the first square?
Yes, and there are higher order terms, but that's really hard to determine, of course. That's future work.
You expect it to be better as
we but actually, I don't know how big the radius of convergence we have, so I cannot say anything about that.
Are you going to explain the scaling?
Yes.
Quick question. So how much more does the cost increase as you decrease T? Is it just putting more lots of R sums and things like that?
Yeah, first, that's one thing. And also, to kill G-string effect, for example, if you want to kill G-string effect, you have to take n larger. And I will also explain there is a problem of flood direction, and to tame that flood direction, we also have to go to larger n. So if we go to low temperature, we have to make a cutoff large, but also we have to increase n to do stable simulation. That I will explain later. And also in different method based on lattice, Cattirol and Weissman did similar simulation, and they also observed that the simulation result approaches to this supergravity result. So two independent simulation gave more or less the same result. So I think this is really correct answer. And also we can, for example, we can calculate two-point function, and we can test the GKPW relation. And for one dimension, Sekino and Yoneya gave a prediction for some operators like this. It's a simple operator made from scalars. And they predict, according to dual gravity calculation, they predicted the two-point function of such operators should obey some power law. So here I took log log. This T is a distance between two operators. And then this slope is power. Slope of this straight line is a power predicted by Sekino and Yoneya. And we actually see nice power law, even with SU3. So SU3 is really radiant. So I want to explain how to get such nice result from numerics. But then Simon already gave a nice talk in this conference. And as he explained, it's not really easy to put super Yamiels on computer. So how can we do that? And basically, I have to repeat his review part, basically, and some of the audience was not here at that time. As a warm-up example, let's consider pure Yamiels, just really pure Yamiel theory, and why lattice is useful to study this system. If you understand this example, then you immediately understand why that is so hard. So this is a famous Plaquette action of Wilson. So we exponentiate Hermitian field, and make it a unitary field. And consider such product, U. So this unitary link variable lives on the link connecting lattice sides. And just take a product along this closed path. Then this small a is lattice spacing. And this lattice coupling beta is related to actually M coupling in this way. If we take right scaling limit so that you know this A becomes small, if this combination A times gauge field is small, we can just expand it around 1. And then to leading order in the expansion with respect to lattice spacing, we get this, the Amin's action. This is how we obtain continuum action from lattice. And this lattice has exact symmetries. One is gauge symmetry, local gauge symmetry. And also here, we consider square lattice. So it has a rotation symmetry and a 90-degree rotation. 90-degree rotation. And also, it has discrete translation symmetry and child conjugation parity and so on. And these symmetries exist at discretized level. These symmetries, which should exist in continuum, of course, exist at discretized level. This is a point. So when we take continuum limit, of course, this limit must respect symmetries at discretized level. Symmetries which is not exact at discretized level is not necessarily respected in continuum limit. And thanks to these exact symmetries, continuum limit is gauge invariant and becomes translational invariant, rotationally invariant, and so on. So, and such symmetries in continuum kills all unnecessary terms, which does not exist in QCD and in YAML. But then what happens if the gauge symmetry is explicitly broken? For example, when we use Chapman momentum cutoff instead of lattice, at discretized level, gauge symmetry is explicitly broken. Then what happens? Then, of course, we are interested in low energy limit, where we don't see lattice structure. So, but at such long distance, so to see such long distance physics, we should integrate at higher momentum modes. Then, if as soon as we integrate at high frequency mode, gauge symmetry breaking relative correction can appear at low energy because this theory does not have that symmetry which controls such divergence. And then to kill such terms, one has to add counter terms to lattice action so that such term disappears from the low energy effective action. And we have to tune the coupling of such counter terms very carefully. So this is a fine tuning problem. And if fine-tuning problem exists, we have to specify UV action very carefully, so that's a mess. We cannot practically start put it on computer. This is the reason why we must preserve symmetries exactly. And in PIR method, of course, we know how to keep these exact symmetries, so nobody uses such club method. Does not respect exact symmetries. But as soon as we consider super MUs, it's hard to keep exact symmetries. So there is a simple no-go argument for lattice super MUs. So we want to think put super MUs on computer. But through the algebra, by definition, contains infinitesimal translation. But as soon as we put theory on lattice, this infinitesimal translation is broken to discrete translation. So it's impossible to keep all supersymmetries exact on lattice. It's a very simple noble argument. But still, it is possible to preserve part of supercharges. And you know, very small, tiny portion of the algebra, which does not include infinitesimal translation. That's possible. But in general, it's not clear if such a small portion of supercharge is enough to control Susy breaking radiative correction or not. And the usual strategy to study superimmersion lattice is combine that few exact supersymmetry and other exact symmetries like portion of R symmetry to control radiative correction. And usually people do that, but in the case of one dimension, which we focus today, actually there is no problem because one dimensional system is UV finite. So we don't have to control UV divergence. We don't have to use lattice. Just introduce momentum cutoff of, in a bit careful way. That can work. Just to introduce momentum cutoff after a few simple manipulations, then in continuum limit, when we remove momentum cutoff, we get right continuum limit. That's the method we use. So it's not really lattice method. I think Toby Wiseman said it's spectral representation or something because we work in momentum space. And this approach cannot be is not applicable when we consider two or more higher dimension. Then we really have to carefully construct lattice. So people use lattice with a few exact SUSY plus R symmetry. And this direction was pioneered by Kaplan and Kaplan, Mitaton, Zala, and collaborators, I think. And they have shown that by carefully choosing exact SUSY and R symmetry, that is good enough to control radiative collection in two dimensions.
That sort of exactly
mean
the entire
commutator is what? So on lattice, as soon as anti-commutator it contains this infinitesimal translation, yeah, that cannot be exact. So only part of the algebra which does not include such part. So they call scalar part, I think. And also, so that work appeared around 2003, and other people like Cohen, Kaplan, Katsunzov, and other people like Sugino or Katero or Kanamori and company constructed lattice, different kind of lattice, but they could use same argument to control UV divergence. So in two dimension, but their argument applies to all order in perturbation. And 5 years after this development, effort to test this statement at non-perturbative level began, and Kanamori and Suzuki checked in Sugino's model, fine-tuning is not needed, non-perturbative. They studied this Sugino's model on computer and confirmed that without any counter term, supersymmetry is restored. I mean, in this case, in the model they studied corresponds to 4 SUSY system, and they keep 1 SUSY exact and 3 supercharges are broken at the discretized level, and they numerically tested those 3 are restored in continuum limit, and they could check that. And also, we did further I and Kanamori did the further simulation, and we also studied Cohen, Kaplan, Katsunzov model, which is different from Sugino's, and these two theories gave the same answer without any fine tuning. So it really works, and these models are basically share the same property. So I assume all these models works at non-perturbative level. So in two dimension, we can study superimmersion computer, but it's numerically more expensive. And higher dimension is much harder. So in three dimension, in general, fine tuning is needed. You know, that argument based on exact SUSY plus exact discrete symmetries is not enough to control UV divergence. So Maruta Sena, Sheki Jabari, and Van Lanslong proposed one matrix model technique which circumvents that problem. So they consider BMN matrix model. This is really quantum mechanics, which can be obtained without any fine-tuning. And then consider some fuzzy sphere background. Then around that, two fuzzy dimensions appear. So they can get one plus two-dimensional superMLs on non-commutative space. And they define the appropriate Lagrangian limit in which our theory really reduces to three-dimensional n equals to 8. SuperM is on flat space. And it's not numerically tested, but at perturbative level, it should be okay. And the four dimension is even harder. And in the case of for the n equals to one pure SuperM without any matter, that is chiral fermion assured SUSY. I don't know who is the first one to make that statement. From Mitatons, I said probably Kaplan is the first one, but maybe not. If you know who is the first, please tell me. And his argument is, even if supersymmetry is broken on lattice, if we keep chiral symmetry exact, that chiral symmetry can kill SUSY breaking relative correction. In four-dimensional n-equals-to-1 pure supermills, only dangerous sum in continuum is gauge in mass, and the chiral symmetry is good enough to kill that. So SUSY appears like a kind of accidental symmetry in continuum. But
the general may have written the paper a little before.
Yeah. A little before.
Curve symmetry.
Okay, then I should add. At this time. At least I was born, but I don't know any difference about it. I was four at the time.
The problem will be with scalars, right?
Yes, yes, yes. And if we consider SUSY QCD, we cannot, we don't have a good symmetry to kill screw up mass. That's a problem. So this method works only for pure supermass. But I, for four dimensional network before, there are several proposals. Which I, Matsura, and Sugino made, and also there are other proposals. And in our case, what we propose is just follow this strategy. So we can make a BMN-like two-dimensional theory on lattice. So two-dimensional superimage plus plane wave deformation, which has a fuzzy sphere as a BPS. Background, BPS solution. And if, so first we can use a two-dimensional lattice to two-dimensional continuum theory. And then we can put a fuzzy sphere background around that. Then we get four-dimensional theory. And also, Ishiki, Shimasaki, and Chia proposed regularization, which utilizes Eguchi-Kawai reduction. So Eguchi-Kawai reduction relates higher dimensional theory to lower dimensional matrix model. And they have shown when we consider some specific background of a BMN matrix model, that coincides with four-dimensional n equals to 4 to all-order imperturbation. And somehow it's tested numerically with these people and Jun and Masazumi Honda, I think. And also, I don't follow the detail, but it seems Heckman Fehrlinde. This Fehrlinde is not you, I think, your brother. I think they proposed some other matrix model, which can be a regularization of this theory. And also, as Simon explained in this workshop, at least to all of the imperturbation, thanks to exact symmetries, we cannot kill all possible fine tunings, but fine-tuning is only three according to them. And they have just only have to tune three bare lattice couplings. So it may be possible fine tuning exists, but the number of fine tuning is not so many, so maybe it's controllable.
I've asked you this question before. What's the latest on n equals 2?
Why it doesn't work?
Yeah.
That's a simple reason. So they consider non-commutative space and take commutative limit. Yes, yes. So, yes. But already in this case, it works only for maximal superMLs because there is a notorious problem called UVIR mixing. When we consider commutative limit of non-commutative YAML theory, commutative limit is not really a theory defined on commutative space. There is some strange IR divergence appears. But in UV finite theory, it's conjectural that such problem does not happen. And maximally supersymmetric theory is UV finite. So we can safely take commutative limit. But if we reduce the number of supersymmetry, it's not UV finite. So commutative limit is not really the same as theory on commutative space. That's the reason why this Maldacena Shekhjavari Ramsdonks approach works only for maximally supersymmetric theory. So let's finish. Let's move on to the simplest case, to the matrix quantum mechanics. And let's understand how that nice peak plots can be obtained. And the action is this. So it's just a dimensional reduction of 4-dimensional n equals to 4 or 10-dimensional n equals to 1. So there is only one direction time. And the gauge field along time direction is hidden in this covariant derivative. And there are 9 scalar fields, so this index I runs from 1 to 9, which corresponds to the transverse coordinate of the 0 prime. And this psi, this comes from Meyer and Weyl fermion in 10 dimensions, so it has 16 components. And it's Meyer and Weyl. And this is a dimensional reduction of maximally supersymmetric theory, and also it's obtained as D0 brain. It's a low energy effective action, and also it's a matrix model of M theory. And in gauge gravity duality picture, it's throughout the black 0 brain. And it's very simple, but perhaps more interesting than ABS 5 CFT 4 from string theory point of view. You know, black hole, black three brain, which is interesting. Just a matter of taste, but it's the simplest. And from a string point of view, it's equally important. And the gauge theory side is much more simple. So why not study this system? And as I have said, matrix quantum mechanics, UV finite. So no need for fine tuning. And one thing we must be careful is four-dimensional networks, therefore, is also UV finite. But UV finiteness of four-dimensional theory crucially relies on cancellation of divergences. And it's not easy to keep this cancellation at a discretized level. And in matrix quantum mechanics case, this UV finiteness does not rely on cancellation. So it's much, much easier. So because there is no UV divergence, basically there is no fine tuning. That's the logic. So we don't have to use lattice. Just to fix the gauge. I explain how to fix the gauge in the next slide. And also after that, we introduce momentum cutoff and send momentum cutoff to infinity to get the right answer. So there's one gauge field. We take it to be static and diagonal. And using large gauge transformation, we can take, so first we take it static, so no dependence on T, and it's diagonal. And also we can take this beta is 1 over T. We can take these values to be sitting in this region. For that, we use large gauge transformation. And we have to add further Popov term associated with this gauge fixing. This is a log of the sign of difference of this remaining gauge degree of freedom basically corresponds to Wilson line phase. along temporal direction. And after fixing this gauge in this way, we simply introduce momentum cutoff. So for scalars, we have this Fourier expansion and just introduce cutoff for momentum. And for fermions, now we are studying a finite temperature system, so we introduce anti-periodic boundary condition. So this momentum becomes half integer. That's the only difference. And we introduce momentum cutoff in a similar manner. And just take this lambda to infinity. Yes, yes, this is scalar. So for this, we introduce in this way. And for there is a C. For C, we take momentum to be half integer. That's the only difference. And of course, we can consider periodic boundary condition for fermions. Then we just take integer value. So we keep at finite temperature, the boundary condition breaks supersymmetry, but only boundary condition. OK, then that's it. So that's all technical issue. Very simple. And what is gravity sign? So this is the same slide I have shown before. So basically, p plus 1 dimensional maximal supermills with gauge group un should correspond to black Dirac backbending type 2 string theory. And the large n strong tofu coupling is supergravity. Finite coupling corresponds to string size alpha prime. And finite n corresponds to closed string group effect. And this is a metric. And so this is a plane direction, and this is transverse direction. This u is a radial coordinate, and small u is close to horizon, and large u corresponds to boundary. And this scale, which characterizes the curvature of the background, must be large. And this is the Dirac expectation value, which is a G-string. And it must be small in order for the quantum string loop effect to be negligible. And then this condition for p equals to 0 case is this condition. And if we fix tofu coupling lambda and send n to infinity, this part just goes to 0. And this u0 is a position of the horizon. And so this u0 is related to black hole temperature. So if we substitute u0 to here, we can relate in which temperature region supergravity approximation is good. So Hawking temperature is related to u0, which is a position of horizon in this way. And we just use this equation, just substitute u0 here. Then we get this condition. So effective dimensionless coupling is small. And from now, I just set lambda equals to 1, because it's dimensionful. We can choose this value whatever we want. It just sets the scale of the theory.
So you have the beta on the other side?
Yes, beta is 1 over t. So this beta is 1 over t, related to temperature. So basically, when we consider thermodynamics, temperature, or effective temperature, is the only parameter. And we have this dictionary. So first, let's test this correspondence. But actually, still there is one problem, which is really related to string interpretation. This theory has a flat direction, even at quantum level. So we have 9 scalars, and the potential is commutator squared. When commutators are zero, or scalars are simultaneously diagonalizable, there is no potential. And when there is no supersymmetry, that flat direction is lifted by quantum effect. But when we have a supersymmetry, when theory is supersymmetric, this flat direction survives. Quantum correction just cancels out. And furthermore, when we consider four-dimensional theory, this is just a moduli. But in one or two dimension, because fluctuation of scalars are so large, we cannot really fix value of scalar background value of scalar by hand. It's really fluctuating, and it must be determined dynamically. This is a point which is very emphasized in BFSS paper, actually. And also, that's the reason why in zero-dimensional IKKT matrix model, one have to very seriously think about background, ground state, which background appears dynamically.
Sorry, but you submit the finite temperature cases.
Yes. So because of the finite temperature, but finite problem is finite temperature effect is not good enough to kill the fluctuation completely. Actually, when eigenvalues are sitting close, probably thanks to that effect, they bound. But once they are well separated, longer than the distance scale, which is characterized by temperature, basically they don't see thermal Suzy breaking effect, and the fluctuation appears. And that can be shown analytically using a perturbative calculation. But supergravity, which should give a right description at n equals to infinity, suggests the black zero blend is stable. Actually, there is no instability in that system because it has charge, actually. But it's different from usual Schwarzschild black hole. And the stability of the black hole solution is supergravity suggests this kind of bug state, where all scalars are sitting around origin, must be stable at large M. But when we consider one over N correction, in simulation, we always take N to be finite, of course. The small one over N correction always appears. And it should correspond to distinct correction. Okay? Then it's not really easy to understand how correction emerges, but roughly, virtual closed string can propagate away from black hole and come back or just run away. Such a correction may arise. Then, at least naively, we expect when n is not large enough, such a emission of closed string or something is not really suppressed because the string is finite. Then instability can take place. Presumably, this is Hawking radiation, I think. And in Simon Cattell and Toby Weizmann's paper, they do that similar argument. But this kind of heuristic argument suggests instability should disappear at large n or high temperature where Suzy is really broken. And actually, it does happen in simulation. A numerical observation is this. So we are interested in black hole-like bound state or white scalar. So we start with this initial configuration and do simulation. And during the run, for example, we can trace how eigenvalue evolves. And one easiest quantity is something like trace xy squared. This gives a simple measure for that. If this becomes very large, some of the eigenvalues are running to infinity. Okay, then we start from this here. And at some point it stops and it fluctuates. But eventually it diverges. This is a numerical observation. And there is a metastable state here. And the lifetime of this metastable state becomes longer when we go to larger n. So I think our argument is right, that larger n metastable state becomes really stable.
So you compactified the gauge field, did you?
No.
You say that.
Gauge field is.
The A is zero.
Gauge field, there's only one gauge field, right? And the gauge field is. This is just. Yeah, in some sense compactified. But the scalars are not.
Okay. Well, it has that wind force, it's easy. The two fields
are
different.
I mean, so what happens if we put a scalar on?
Yeah.
That's possible, but we didn't try that, and that's similar to philosophy of lattice, I think. But
lattice, everything is cold.
Yeah. I know. But compared to that, what we have observed is with this treatment with Hermitian field. Distortion of supersymmetry is much, much faster. So that should work in the end, but we need more resource, I think. And also what happens, actually in two dimensions, some people use such compact notation for scalar, and there was a confusion associated with that. So let's see, so let's take exponential of the scalar, and then there is no projection, right? But this unitary matrix is related to original scalars only when this part is small. So in simulation, if this U really fluctuates a lot, we cannot expand it around one. Then that's not related to scalars. That's what usually happens in lattice. In unitary setup, and so that method, at first sight, it seems it kills flat direction, but it actually doesn't work. The same problem remains. So in this case, we have to be careful about the eigenvalue of x. But in this setup, we have to carefully trace deviation from this unitary matrix from one. So it's the same problem.
I should say that this compactation of gauge field is because we are gauge fixing. Exactly. If you don't gauge fix, I mean, it is just the same as before.
Yes.
Yes, for gauge field, yeah.
Question? Do you know the lifetime as a function of n?
That's a very interesting question, but we don't know. So if we can express it as some power of n, that will be very nice. If we can reproduce that from gravity, that's wonderful. But for the moment, I don't know.
Depend on the algorithm you're using to update the configuration.
Yeah, so that's the biggest problem.
It's not quite physical. But there is this calculation of Setunstein and Stern. This is for low n, and this state is there.
This bound state.
Yeah, at least from the weekend index calculation.
Yes.
It looks like nice state.
Yeah, but that's the bound state of threshold, but there's all these other states that are continuing. You're testing the part of the temperature.
If they know where to be, that's the difference.
And also, numerically, we can observe if we use periodic boundary condition, this metastable state more stable. And in IKKT matrix model, these people argue that the zero mode of the fermion diagonal element can give an attractive force between eigenvalues. So probably the same happens in this case. And if we go to lower temperature, very light mode, which is really close to zero mode, emerges. So that gives attractive force. And at very low temperature, metastable state appears again. But at intermediate temperature, with fixed n, we cannot see a metastable state. So we can, at fixed n, at the low high temperature and low temperature, we can observe metastable state. And in order to make that region larger, we have to go to larger n. And we did that. OK, so let's see what is the prediction of gravity. AGN mass can be calculated in a usual manner, and as a function of temperature, this is like this. We know how this U0 is related to temperature, and it is 7.4 times T to the 2.8 when we set lambda equals to 1. And this is the curve. So this curve is 7.4 times T to the 2.8. Okay, and here we also studied smaller n, But in order to arrive at this temperature region, we have to use larger n. So if we, when we use n equals to 8, for example, we can study high temperature region, but at some point, bundle state just collapse. And if we go to even lower temperature, we have to increase n. That's a mess. And so I said this deviation should correspond to supergravity. But then how?
Large, do you have any idea of the large TBA of the, mm-hmm. Does it flatten? I see the curve that is flattened, the one below, okay? So do you think it would?
It just becomes like this. Because at larger T, this part dominates. In this way, I think. And we have to take into account higher power. And how to get this power 4.6? We just do power counting. So deviation from the strong coupling or low temperature behavior corresponds to alpha prime correction, right? In string theory, alpha prime correction to this type 2 string theory is should start from alpha prime cube order. This is argued by many people, I think. Most famous one is Gross and Wittgen, I think. And though we cannot determine the correction completely, from symmetry argument we can see it must be alpha prime cube order. Alpha prime or alpha prime square does not appear.
So there's just two more derivatives or something like this?
Yeah. So to compensate, so alpha prime is a length square scale. So to kill that, we need more derivatives.
From alpha prime has units of that square.
Alpha prime is alpha prime and the derivative square is dimensionless. And by R, I mean curvature radius of the black hole, which is the dimension of length. So because the alpha prime has a length squared dimension, this is dimensionless expansion parameter. And if black hole is very big compared to alpha prime, correction is small. If black hole becomes small, correction becomes large. And this combination is tipped to be 0.6 if you carefully look at that solution. And we have cubic power, so 0.6 times 3 is 1.8. And we get the correction of this order to this leading behavior. So 2.8 plus 1.8 is 4.6. But without knowing full detail of the correction, we cannot determine this prefactor.
Can you
determine
the sign?
I'm not sure. And Barak Hall's student told me they could argue it must be negative, but I don't know the logic. So, and so this part cannot be, so far from string theory, nobody could derive this coefficient. So it's a kind of prediction by super-Yamil simulation. Okay, so this deviation follows nice power law. And here we put two kinds of data. So n equals to 17, but lambda equals to 600. It's closer to continuum. And here, if as we increase cutoff, it goes a bit downwards and go close to this line. And if we take log plot, we get this curve. And this deviation corresponds to this deviation. So it's a higher order correction. And also here, it corresponds to low T, so finite cutoff effect becomes larger. And we have to go to larger cutoff, but it's hard. But anyways, so here we have this slope.
It is already very unusual that you can find a window in which next order correction is identifiable. So usually the next one is immediately killed.
And also we can repeat the same game using theories with less supersymmetry. For example, Jacek Wojcik gave a talk about this. Not really this, but he also mentioned about this system. So we consider the matrix quantum mechanics, which is obtained from four-dimensional n equals to 1 pure theory, five-dimensional reduction. And we can measure the energy in the same manner. And with maximal supersymmetry, it obeyed the power law. This time, it behaves, it decays as exponential. The difference is, with maximal supersymmetry, it's expected that that theory has a threshold bound state, which is energy zero. And in this theory, people conjecture that there is no zero energy bound state, right? And then this exponential decay is consistent with the absence of threshold bound state. And the power law decay in maximally supersymmetric theory is consistent with existence of threshold bound state. The next simplest quantity is a Polyakov loop. So we have one time direction. So we can consider Polyakov loop winding on temporal direction. And in usual gauge theory, people just consider this combination without any scalar. But in string theory, because the string worksheet pulls planes, we have to add a scalar term here. And this Wilson loop is related to area of minimal worksheet. And the exponential of this minimal area corresponds to this Wilson loop. This is a basic conjecture. So there is a minimal worksheet, and this boundary is a Wilson loop in the boundary gauge theory. Okay, so we just repeat the same. And we observe, so basically from this calculation, we can predict that log of the Wilson loop must be a constant plus something over t to the 0.6. No, 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 1.89 is also calculable, I think. And this is the area calculated from gravity. And this combination, including this coefficient, is nicely reproduced. And here we use the rather small n, n equals to 4 or 6 or 8 here, but almost no deviation from this large n result. And also we can calculate correlation function. Okay, so in ABS-CFT, which is this three brain case, GKPW relation is used to calculate correlation functions. And similar relation is expected to be to hold in digital brain theory. And though the theory is not really conformal because it has a parameter of mass dimension, still it has a massless mode. And such a mode should behave t to the some power. It that should obey power law, and this power is calculable by using supergravity if we assume GKPW like relation. And Signor Yonea and also Skenderis and company derived this coefficient at this power. And here we just show the result. So this slope is what calculated, which is calculated by Signor and Yonea. And this operator J plus 1, 2, 3, 4 is defined in this way. So commutator of scalar times many scalars and symmetry traits. And here we use the periodic boundary condition for the simulation. And we study this U3 theory. And because we compactify theory on Euclidean circle, at some point it deflects and comes back. It has a zero invariance because of the compactness of the space. So this is the maximum length. And close to this maximum length, of course there should be finite volume effect, so deviation is expected. And also, so if we separate two operators so very far away, then gravitational mode propagates deep into bulk. And then it can, in the deep inside bulk, Dirac-Tonic expectation value becomes large. And then one-by-one effect should appear. So if these two points are very well separated, naively, supergravity approximation fails. Only in strict large and limit long distance can be calculated. Okay, that's a naive prediction from ADS-CFT argument. But still, as we increase, as we make the circle larger, this power law seems to extend almost forever. It's very interesting. So though naively, this power law should not, it's not necessarily hold at very long distance, numerical results suggest it continues to longer distance. And also,
how you measure, you know, falls by like factor several orders of magnitude. How you measure it?
Oh, what do you mean?
The signal become very, very small.
Yeah. We need more statistics.
Remember, it's parallel, so it's not as bad as what you have
explained. Yeah, not as bad as explanation, but of course, if we go to longer distance, we need more statistics.
Yeah, but still, you know.
And we, today I don't show the stringy mode, but there are massive stringy mode, and those modes are very much more difficult to measure. But anyways, it seems nice power law appears already at SU3, and even very long distance where 1/n correction, which is G-stringy fiction, must be large, it seems, actually we don't see any 1/n correction.
Excuse me, key is 1. Key from 1 is how large, I mean, what are you doing by large distance, like long distance?
Ah, so we set alpha, lambda to be 1, so it sets a scale. So larger than order 1 scale, but this, so this is.
That
line is
2.
Looks like
it's
2. This slot is 2 or something.
Is larger or not?
But actually, we went almost T goes equal to 3 or something. And the region where gravity calculation is applicable scales very weak power of n. So order 1 is already big. I can show the detailed number later. I don't remember at once. Oh, sorry. Anyways, SU3 looks very large. But it's kind of expected. You know, these days everybody knows SU3 is large enough, and that's the reason why people study gravity and apply it to.
From that breakout for things of very high speed. Mm-hmm. Because then the matrices are truly not independent, and then you should really be able to see them.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of situations where how large an n is depends very much on the turbo.
Of course. In this specific example, which keeps the supersymmetry, SU3 is large enough.
Again, if you put many x's in there, you start probing the fact that the matrices are small, and you get to see a lot of correlation between them. You can't distinguish a single trace from you know, multi-traces for things which have too many x's.
But anyway, SU3 is large. If it seems SU3 is larger, then what we should do next? Try SU2. So this is the result. In this case, I have shown only J1, J3, and J2 and J4 are automatically zero in SU2, because of some special property of SU2. But we see perfect power here. So at least for this observable, SU2 is larger. That's very nice when we want to apply this method to learn. You know, if we calculate the correlation function in gravity and translate it to gauge theory, it's very nice because you know SU2 or 3 is large enough.
U1
is impossible because it's larger in theory, it's just 3. So it's the smallest possible n. So this is the last slide. So I have, actually we have more data, but I don't have time to show. So if you're interested in, we can ask later personally. So summary and outlook. the Monte Carlo is powerful. And the strong coupling versus supergravity looks okay. And finite coupling versus alpha prime correction also looks okay. And at the next step, almost for 2 years, we are studying one-by-n correction versus G-string correction. And because of the problem of flat direction, it's not very easy. And we have tentative result, but if you're interested, we can explain later. And because you know, when n is small, flat metastable state is not very long-lived, then it's difficult to measure physical quantity precisely. That's a trouble. But for example, if we consider BMN matrix model, by mass deformation, flat direction is lifted, then this problem may disappear. So if you can give a precise dual gravity description of BMN matrix model at finite temperature, numerically it's really easy to test, I think. And so if you somebody can do that, please. Especially you can do that, I think. It's your model.
Well, I've been looking into black hole predictions and it's Bokun Ragamani and Veronica Cullin and Simon Moss, and there were some other things. And I think I read a paper yesterday or the day before by Simon Moss where they tried to match asymptotic expansions and they seem to find a problem with finding the black hole solutions. But basically, it's hard. So you might need to do numerics versus numerics.
And also, today I concentrated on ADS-CFT picture, but also this the same model is originally proposed as a matrix model of M theory. And if we consider really long distance region, that's M theory region, which BFSS first proposed to be correspond to M theory. And study of this region is very interesting, I think. And it seems a naive gauge gravity calculation, at least some quantity can be that some for some quantity naive gauge gravity duality prediction can be extended to this region. That's very interesting. So it's important to see which observable such miracle can happen. And also simulation of two-dimensional theory is ongoing. And I did some work with Kanamori, so perhaps he can talk here. And the 3D and the 4D are coming soon. And June and the company had some result. So if you're interested, you can ask. And also, resource-wise, it's better to take large M limit, large money limit. And so far, we are using just a cluster machine, single CPU jobs. But at some point, we should go to, we should parallelize it or use a much better supercomputer and take large M. I don't know, but it's really hypothetic, so senior people should be in charge. And I'm not sure if we have time to talk, but recently we are studying ABGM theory, and it's really hard to study directly on computer, but it seems using localization technique to reduce some quantity, like BPS Wilson loop, or free energy of this theory, to matrix model. That matrix model, which is called ABGM matrix model, is still complicated, but numerically we can study that. And for example, we can determine free energy or circular Wilson loop at arbitrary n and at arbitrary k. And that may be very useful to test ADS-CFT duality at finite n level. And I think there are many things we can do in this direction. Thanks, that's it.
So are you concerned about the one over n instability, or is it of the correction?
Yeah, so what we are trying to measure is one over n correction to the black hole energy. And it's not easy to see something definite, but basic conjecture by Maradasen and company is if our one line operation becomes large, this string becomes large, then 11th dimension start to expand, and then in the end, this system will become a Schwarzschild black hole in 11th dimension. Then negative specific heat must appear, not their story. And of course, with negative specific heat, black hole evaporates. So this instability is really needed for that picture. So if we can really determine energy in such unstable, almost unstable, metastable state, and if we can see right power temperature dependence, we can test their conjecture. If that happens, that's really nice, because nobody has ever derived Schwarzschild black hole from quantum theory. And we want to do that, but so instability is very important for that picture, but in that very instability makes simulation very hard. That's a problem with SAFA.
The question is if it is truly stable or not, because if you take, for instance, sigma model, you change the sign of lambda, you get the convergent series because your effective potential is a false vacuum, and large n, the leading term doesn't see totally. Mm-hmm. And so you are studying a theory that is not making any sense. And nevertheless, you can do a perturbative expansion. And in that case, you know it doesn't make any sense. But in your case, it might turn out to some reasonable vacuum. And do you have any idea?
This is a metastable vacuum. So partial function itself diverges. But there are many metastable vacuum, I think. And we are trying to pick up one metastable vacuum. So if we literally integrate out all path integral measure, theory doesn't make sense. It does diverge at a discretized level. But path integral diverges is consistent with string picture, so no way.
Okay, that's my...